looking at Israel and prophecy, and here we are talking about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is on the rise again today. We looked at some of these other things here. I mean, obviously, the Holocaust. It amazes me how that, you look at it, the World War II generation, those that went and fought in World War II and survived, we're coming on the end of those people being alive. Most of them are passing off, and there's very few. I mean, it's been 70 years, so if they were 18, they're 88. You know, I mean, we're getting to the end where we're not going to be able to touch really that generation anymore and be able to hear from them. And they took so many pictures of it when they did, is so there'd be a documentation for it. And I forget who it was that said it. I'm going to paraphrase him. It was one of the generals. He said, take pictures because people aren't going to believe this when later on in later generations. They won't believe this. Take a lot of pictures. And they did. And guess what? People still don't believe it. They still deny that the Holocaust happened. That's crazy to me when you see the mass graves like this. And I have no doubt in my mind some of those people are alive in that when that picture was taken. Right. Some of them were still alive because they didn't care. They just throw them in there. And again, we just got off of our teaching on evolution. And I mentioned that that teaching leads to this. Yep. Hand in hand, it leads to this. It's going to. Because, well, we're the greater race. We've evolved farther. So this is what happens, but we're specifically looking at anti-Semitism. Just 70 years ago, this is going on. You know, a little over 70 years. Anti-Semitism, again, is on the rise again today. And most of us, we see the swastika and we recognize that as, you know, we instantly, I always did, associate it with Nazi Germany. But I forget where he took the symbol from. He took it from someone else. It's been throughout history that symbol's been there. Most of us don't know that. It's just associated with Nazi Germany. And even their little, you know, the salute that they would do. You know, he stole that. I think he took it from Mussolini, I think, is who he got it from, if I'm not mistaken, because he liked the way it looked. So we associate it all with Nazi Germany, but most of it was taken from somewhere else. By the way, there's no new thing under the sun. Doesn't the Bible say that? There's no new thing under the sun. He just got it from someone else. Anti-Semitism. God hates Jews. God hates Israel. Kill Jews. Israel is doomed. And then hate and the Star of David. 2009 Europe-wide survey found that 40% agreed with the statement, I can understand why people do not like the Jews. 40% of Europe in 2009, that was 8 years ago, agreed with that statement. I can understand why people don't like the Jews. That's indoctrination. That's the propaganda that's being put out, so they're falling for it. Again, just like right there, just like this, it was propaganda. They're being told this. I'm telling you, if you get the kids, if you teach the kids, and the devil's patient, he'll wait. But if you can teach the kids, then that generation's going to grow up thinking like that. To where the Hitler youth were turning in their own parents because they weren't Nazi enough. Because the parents were like, wait a minute, they see what's going on with some of this. But they were so indoctrinated, they said, no, this is right. And they turn in their own parents. Because if you get the youth, that's why, look, if you can, I understand if you can't. If you can, get your children out of public education. Get your children out of public education. If you haven't had children yet, don't put them in it. Don't let them learn those things. I know some of you are there. That's okay. It's all right. Just learn, and that's okay. We have got to start where we're at. I'm not mad at anybody. You just start where you're at, and you go forward from there. That's all any of us can do. I went my whole life through public education, okay? Probably most of us in here did, all right? And we made it, but, you know, not everyone does, okay? I was just speaking. Who was I talking with? I don't even remember now, but it was a young lady. I remember where it was. It was for Mercedes, her graduation, they called it, her graduation ceremony as she moves from one foster treatment to another foster family. She's progressing, so that's a good thing. We're thankful to be there. She asked us to be there, but I was speaking with the foster mom she's going with. She says she's a saved lady, and her son grew up. He says, my son grew up witnessing to Satanists in high school. He says, but he went off to college, and the professors there trashed Christianity so much and put things forth that he didn't have an answer for that he now rejects God completely. And her son right now is 20 years old. Okay, those are the reasons why I took us through that study on evolution, because I don't want that happening to some of you. I don't want that to happen to any of you. That's why we went through that. But if you get the children, you're going to affect a whole generation. This is why we see where our country is going, and we're losing the liberties that we have. because here's my problem I have with the greatest generation, okay? Who knows who the greatest generation is? A few of the adults. Let me tell you who the greatest generation is. I think it was Dan Rather. I could be wrong on that. Was it Dan Rather that said that? Tom Brokaw. Okay, that's it. That's where it really got popular, calling. It was the World War II generation, the generation that went to fight in World War II and came out of there. They're known as the greatest generation. And they did some great things. I'm not saying that, but here's where they failed, okay? Because the greatest generation raised the hippie generation, okay? And no one likes to talk about that, but that's what happened, okay? The greatest generation, because they wanted better for their children. And much of the greatest generation came through the Great Depression. So we can understand. I mean, they had nothing. So they said, we want better for our children. I get that. Parents understand that. But they raised the hippie generation. And the hippie generation is the generation that's running our country right now. And they got indoctrinated with all this, you know, anti-freedom is really what it is, anti-liberty and socialism. And now this is where we're at. And the generation that's come up now, which would be like me, has got it even more so. And I'm afraid to think what it's going to be like in 20, 30, 40 years with they call them the millennials. I think I'm thrown in there. I don't associate with the millennials, by the way, but I just made the cut, okay? I'm just like right there on the cusp of that. So some of you are like, oh, that answers a lot. No. But I'm afraid to see what it's going to be like when they're running it, because they can't even figure out what bathroom to go to. And I don't say that even as a joke. I'm serious. They can't figure out what bathroom to go to. And these are going to be the people that are running our country, that are making decisions for us. I can't understand for the life of me why our country is even arguing over repeal and replace. Okay, repeal Obamacare. Praise the Lord. Get rid of that. Amen. It's socialism. But the right wants to replace it with more socialism. We're supposed to be against that. That's supposed to be, but that's the indoctrination. That's the point we've gotten to where we expect government to give us things. It's called a welfare mentality, an entitlement mentality. They expect these things, and I should just get this because I'm here. I mean, I just read some quotes by Bernie Sanders saying how, you know, that we're the only, you know, one of the richest nations in the world, and we're the only one that doesn't have, you know, healthcare as a human right. A human right. It's not a human right that we have to like give everyone health care. Right. I'm sorry, it's just not a human right. And here's the problem with socialism is it steals from people. It's theft. Socialists are very generous. They are with other people's money. Okay? With other people's money. But you know, I mean, just here, I'm just pointing some things out. I just want us to see these things. Okay? They are blasting Trump because he's a mega millionaire and he makes all this money, and release your tax returns. And he says, no, I'm not going to. So whatever, they were leaked out, okay, whoever did that. I mean, we know it wasn't the Russians, right? Okay, I'm just kidding. All right. Anyway, his tax returns for 2005 got leaked out. He ended up paying 25% taxes. I think it was some $20 million or something is what he ended up paying for all the money he made that year. 25%, okay? And I'm not a fan of Trump. You guys all know that, okay? Everyone here knows I'm not a fan of Trump, okay? But the self-avowed socialist, Bernie Sanders, in 2013 paid 13.5% income tax. But he's the one that thinks we ought to take from the rich and give to the poor. How come he's not giving more? See, I'm all for that. If you want to help people and give money to them, go for it, but don't force me at the point of a gun, because that's what it is. I have people say, oh, that's ridiculous. Okay, try not to do it then and see if the government doesn't come down and arrest you. It's at the threat of a gun. That's what it is. If you don't do it, and that's what socialism is. All right, I'm just telling you, here's all this stuff fits, okay? This is why we need to stand for the Second Amendment. That is honestly the last line of defense. We don't want to get to that. But our founding fathers understood the importance of it. I don't want to get to that. Amen. But they understood that's what will hold back tyranny. And if we just watch what our government does, they put little feelers out there. I think it was in 2013. It might have been 2014. And I believe it was up in Connecticut. They passed a state law that said all gun owners have to register their guns. It was a gun registry. they passed it. And I think out of the whole state, I don't know how many millions of people are there, but out of the whole state, I think they had like 200 or 300 actually register their guns. But what was that? So they repealed it. They said, okay, never mind. We're not going to do that. Now, why would they do that? It's a feeler. Can we push on this yet? Can we push? How much can we take? How far can we go? That's what it was. It was a feeler. Okay, we have to, I'm telling you, Lord willing, I will give my last breath defending the Second Amendment if I have to. I don't want to, but Lord willing, I would. Because I want my children to walk and live in liberty. And if we don't hold to that, then we'll end up like that. Because that's exactly what happened right here with Nazi Germany. They start by passing these laws to keep us safe. And that's always how it's put forward. It's always put forward as something that's going to keep us safe. The Real ID Act. I mean, now you gotta get your birth certificate, your mom's birth certificate, your dad's birth certificate. I mean, you gotta be able to do cartwheels backwards. No, I'm just kidding, okay? You don't have to have all of that. But it's ridiculous what you do have to have. You do have to have your own birth certificate. Everything has to match perfectly. But it's all in the name of safety to stop terrorism. That's why they do it. And that's why these gun control laws. I mean, you've got President Obama trying to sign gun control laws. And who's he got children surrounding him? Hitler did the same thing. We love the children. And what are you against protecting children? That's what they're going to tell you. I guarantee you, that's what they're going to tell you. You're against protecting children. You just want all these evil people to have guns. No, I'm absolutely against all the evil people having guns. I don't want government having them. All right, watch out now, okay. But I'm serious when I say that. Governments over the 20th century, the 1900s, government was the number one murderer of people in the world, governments. And if we get to it today, we'll look at one of them. We're looking at one right now. We'll look at another one. But what did Hitler do? What do all these dictators do when they come in? That's why we better stand for the principles of liberty and stop being okay with whichever president it is. I don't care if it's somebody I like. We better not be okay with them signing all these executive orders. Amen. That's tyranny. Yep. We didn't elect a dictator or a king. The executive branch, that's what the president is there to execute the laws, not make laws. Okay, we as a New Testament church are here to execute the laws of the king. Okay, we don't make laws. We execute what he said. And that's the same thing with the executive branch. They don't make laws. So if you're okay with that, well, I agree with this one, then don't be mad when the next dictator that comes in you don't agree with and he passes laws you don't like. Don't be mad about it because you allowed it to happen. See, that's what it means when we stand for the principles of liberty. Because when we don't, this is the type of stuff that will happen. You say, oh, and that would never happen here. Are we that foolish? I hope no one here is that foolish, because history has shown us time and time and time and time and time and time again that that's what happens. Disarm a populace so then you can do with them what you will. And that's what Hitler did. He started passing gun control laws, all in the name of safety. That's what the Russians did. As I forget the country, the Chinese, I mean, you could go through it, Pol Pot and the killing fields in Cambodia. They all start passing these gun control laws. Idi Amin. That's what every single one of them does. That's what the UN is getting in. By the way, it's amazing how this fits with Bible prophecy. You get this one world government that's going to happen. The UN keeps pushing towards this. And what does the UN want to do? They want to disarm. And they want to be the only ones with guns. I say we have nothing to do with the UN. Amen. Get out. Now, I know we're not going to stop what God says is going to happen. But praise God, if it doesn't have to happen in my lifetime or my children's lifetime, I'm all for that. Yep. There's no guarantee when all this is going to go down, but you sure can see some pieces of the puzzle fitting together. I don't have to accept what's going to happen. And there's a defeatist mentality when you start getting into prophecy and studying some of these things. And they're like, well, there's nothing we can do, you know, just completely pull out of government. I'm sorry, that doesn't fit with the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are to set our own government. We're to make our own government. Now, I think you get up to the upper echelons and it's so corrupt that it's just about done. There's probably like 2 or 3 senators in all of our House of Representatives and everything in the country that actually stand on principle. The rest of them, I believe, are bought and sold. Just my opinion, I could be wrong. But we have to understand that it is our duty to be salt and light. And we need to elect people that agree with us, that believe like we do. And we need to not vote for people that don't stand where we do. Amen. Let's be salt and light. Let's stop using pragmatism as our role or our rule for who we're going to vote for. Preachers that say they stand against pragmatism, every 4 years, they flip on that thing and they're like, well, we got to keep out the more evil one. We got to keep out Hillary. You have to vote for Trump. Yep. Everybody told me I have to vote for Trump because of the Supreme Court justices he's going to put in place. So I've got to vote for Trump because he's going to put in, you know, conservative justices who stand for traditional marriage and stand against gay marriage and are against abortion. And yet the first one he puts forward, Gorsuch, says I think it's the law of the land, gay marriage, and I think abortion's the law of the land. They can both stand and I'm not going to stand against them. You look it up yourself. You don't believe me. Please watch some of the videos of him, the things that he said. I'm paraphrasing what he said. He didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what he's saying. And they're like, well, you know, maybe he's just saying that too. So they'll get him in and then he can take the stand that he's going to. How come the liberals don't have to do that? Right. How come the liberals tell us everything they're going to do and right where they stand and everyone's okay with it? But when it comes to the conservative, they have to compromise on everything and just soft pedal it. I'm telling you again, I don't like Trump. I'm not a fan. Amen. But why did he get elected? Because he just said what needed to be said that no one else was saying. That's one of the reasons he got elected. If he doesn't come through on what he said, he's done in four, I'm telling you right now. But he got elected because he was saying what needed to be said. And no one wanted to say it. It's unpopular. You can't get elected like that. Well, I can praise God. At least he had the nerve to say what needed to be said, what no one wanted to say, because they're all, oh, it's blowing this way. Oh, it shifted. We're going back over here. That's what they do. So, again, I got on all that because we need to stand for liberty. If we don't, I promise you we'll end up in this. I promise you. You read through the book of Revelation, people are going to be getting their heads cut off. All right, it's going to happen again. All right, but it doesn't mean we have to say, okay, well, it's going to happen. We just go along with whatever. Right. No, we don't need to do that. God gave us the charge, I guess, if you can put it like that. I'm not thinking of the right word, but in Genesis chapter 9, to institute our own government. He gave that charge to us. You set up the government you want. You do it how you want. So for Christians to say, well, oh, it's all corrupt and the New World Order and all this stuff, and they want to back out of it, well, that's not Bible, sorry. Right. He didn't change what he said in Genesis chapter 9. He still believes it. So we have that duty before us. All right, this will happen again, I promise you. Anti-Semitism, it's on the rise again today. All right, I can understand why people do not like the Jews because of the propaganda that's being put forth. And look, if you get wrong on Bible prophecy, I'm telling you, this happens. If you're wrong on Bible prophecy, you're going to be replacement theology and you will come out against the Jews. It might be one step at a time, one piece at a time, but you're going to come out against the Jews. I know some guys who are post-trib and they say, we're not against the Jews. I'm like, well, how come everything you're putting forth, at least what I see on your Facebook page, is anti-Israel? I mean, I'm just telling you, when you start using the term Zionism, well, they're Zionists, you're already anti-Israel. I'm just telling you. Okay, that's where they're at, all right? Dispersion. Yet Israel remained a distinct people through the long centuries of her dispersion. It's amazing. That's a miracle. I think we don't realize what a miracle it is that Israel has remained a nation throughout her dispersion. I mean, that would be like just any people, just sending any people, dispersing them from their homeland all over the world and them keeping that intact and 2,000 years later reforming a nation again. That has never happened, ever. These are still God's chosen people. His hand is on them. He is not done with them. That's the time of Jacob's trouble. Daniel's 70th week. Amen. He says, I'm going back to deal with you, Jacob. Who are Daniel's people? We've got to ask ourselves, who are Daniel's people? He said, this is a prophecy about thy people, Daniel. Oh, it was the church. Sure, because that was Daniel's people, right? That doesn't even make sense, I'm telling you, but that's what they have to believe. Amen. Daniel's people have to be the church. No, it's the Jews. God's going to go back and deal with the Jews. All right, dispersion, 1754. Thomas Newton wrote this. All right. Israel became a nation, what was it, 1948, thank you. May something, it's coming up, May 14th or something, 1948. This was 1754. What is that? 200 years before they became a nation. So they're still dispersed all over the world. Okay, they're nowhere near. They're 200 years from becoming a country again, their own nation. All right? And here's what he wrote. Their preservation is really one of the most illustrious acts of divine providence, meaning God's hand is on them. God's keeping them pure even. Okay? All right, after wars, massacres, and persecutions, they still subsist. What but a supernatural power could have preserved them in such a manner as no other nation on earth has been preserved? Taken from Dissertation on the Prophecies. 1910, Walter Scott. The Jews, without a home, without a country, without a government, without a head, are yet a people as distinct from the Gentiles in national faith, feeling, and hope as in the days of David and Solomon. They're distinct from the Gentiles still after 1850-something years, 1840 years of being dispersed. And 70 AD is really when they're just gone. They were done. And they're dispersed over that 1840, 30 years. And yet they're still a distinct people. Bible prophecy not only describes the past 2,000 years of Israel's trouble, it foretold that Israel would be brought back into her land in her present conditions. They're returning to the land. All right, these would be Orthodox Jews right there. You see that box on their forehead? Okay, that's called a phylactery. We'll get to that in a bit, hopefully today. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 5. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse. Now look, Deuteronomy, okay, second giving of the law is what it means. They failed the first time, you know. They sent the 12 spies in. 10 were bad, 2 were good. They rejected what God told them. So God said, all right, 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness till that generation passes off. You guys are going to die. Once everyone 20 and above dies, then you're going into the promised land, okay? And that's what happened. So Deuteronomy is basically a series of sermons that Moses preached to the children of Israel, telling them, here's what's going to happen. Here's what God expects of you. He's basically telling them the same things he told them before. He's like, this is a reminder. It's 40 years later. It's a new generation. He's telling them all these things. Here's what God expects of you. All right? And here we see Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 5. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. What? He's telling them, God's going to drive you out. Among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. God's telling them, you're going to disobey. You're going to be driven out among all nations. I'm sending you out because you're going to disobey me. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. Amen. That's 4,000 years old, close to it. 3,500 years old. Well, it's the Palestinians. Who are the Palestinians? Aren't even a people. They've never been a people. God right there. I'm going to give you, you're going to come back into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. God promised you're going to come back into this land. It's yours. Bible believers knew that Israel was going to be restored because the prophecies required it. So if you believe the Bible, you accepted it. And there was some man, I mean, C.I. Schofield's wrong on a lot of things, but he was right on Israel, I'm telling you right now. He never saw them become a nation. I don't think so. I think he died before then, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't see them become a nation, but in this Schofield reference Bible, he's saying they're going to. They will be a nation. He got that right because he believed what it said about them. 1910, Walter Scott said this. That's about the same time this is being written. Okay, the whole prophetic future depends on the restoration of the Hebrew Commonwealth. The whole prophetic future depends on the restoration of the Hebrew Commonwealth. Well, all these, you know, these, if you're off on prophecy, all these guys saying Israel doesn't matter anymore, we're done with them. Well, how come they became a nation again, just like the Bible said they were going to? How come there's so much turmoil in the Middle East, in that little area, size of New Jersey? Why? That doesn't even fit. This stuff had to happen. God said it was going to happen. That's why it's happening, because the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. Not the time of the church's trouble. I'm telling you right now, it's not. It's not. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what God's talking about. The whole prophetic future depends on the restoration of the Hebrew Commonwealth. This will be the great political event of the centuries. Amen. It was and still is. what's his name? Joel Rosenberg, I think is his name. I don't agree with all his theology, but he wrote a book, Epicenter, dealing with what's the epicenter of the world is basically the thesis of the book. Where is the epicenter of the world? That's right, it's this little nation. There's a little tiny nation. And how come you turn on the news just about any night of the week, you're going to hear about Israel? Why? What do they have to do with anything? We're not hearing about all these other little countries. Some of them you're like, what? Where's that? But everybody knows where Jerusalem's at, where Israel's at. So it's going to attract universal attention. It absolutely has. Ezekiel 37. This is a miracle right here. Ezekiel 37. God told us this was going to happen. I don't know what the replacement theologians do with this. I don't. I have no idea what they do with Ezekiel 37. But it's prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We say, I wish I lived in Bible times. Amen, you do. You live in Bible times right now. We're watching prophecy be fulfilled before our very eyes, okay? Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. I can open your Bibles to it. It's better. I might kind of jump around here a little bit. I don't know how far he reads. I'm going to read it off here. You can follow in your Bibles, though. Ezekiel 37:1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. So God takes Ezekiel into this valley, the valley of dry bones, okay? And there's all these just dried up bones that are there in this valley. And he asks him, Son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel gives him a good answer. I mean, because if he asked most of us, we're going to say, no, I mean, they're bones. They can't live. But Ezekiel, smart enough to say, well, thou knowest. I don't know, but you know. And that's exactly what Ezekiel tells him. Let's see if it continues on. All right, let's go with this. We'll get to that. Verse 4, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. He's saying, preach to these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. I mean, can you imagine? Are you going to listen to God if God tells you, he's like, I want you to preach to these dry bones? You're going to be like, what? They're bones. They're dead. I mean, you'd be looking around. Is anyone else around here? I mean, is anyone watching this? And he says, preach to them. I want you to tell them you're going to live. I'm going to bring breath into you. I'm going to bring sinews and flesh upon these bones. That's what he tells him there. And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. He says, so when these bones come to life, you're going to know I'm the Lord. That's what he said. You're going to know it. Because let me ask you, is that impossible, humanly speaking, for dead, dry bones to come back to life? So there's nothing, we could not do that, could we? There's no way we could do that. So if this thing happens, if these bones come to life, God says, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. You're going to know I'm Jehovah. You're going to know I'm the real deal. All right, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. He says, I started preaching just like God commanded me. See, sometimes God's going to ask us to do some things that don't make sense. But are we going to obey or not? Because this makes no sense. He says, I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. I'm just curious. I don't know. I wish I could be there and see Ezekiel as this is happening, and he's like preaching to these bones, and he starts hearing a noise, some shaking. I mean, come on. It'd be like coming back to this here, except even worse. Where is it? Let me get there. Right there, and seeing these. If they were bones, though, just coming back to life, and you hear some rattling, you'd be like, wouldn't you be scared? Wouldn't you? I wonder if he stopped preaching, or if he was like, bones, come to life, and hear some rattling. He's like, bones, come to life. The Lord said you're going to have. I don't know if he got scared or not. I'm just curious. I think things like that as I read through the Bible. All right, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Now, imagine that. I mean, what if one guy's leg got ripped off, and it was thrown over here or something? And the other half of his leg was on this side of the valley. And all of a sudden, he's just preaching to him, and he just sees this like a magnet, just boom! And those bones just hit and connect, and bam, like, whoa! I mean, I wonder what he's looking at. I wonder what it looked like. I don't know. I just think things like that when I read through the Bible. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Verse 8, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. So it says the sinews and the flesh came upon them. So the bones come together. So you got a fully formed skeleton. And then the sinews, all the, you know, the cartilage and all that stuff, the ligaments, all that stuff starts coming together, the muscles, and then the flesh cover these bones. So it's like these bodies there with flesh, but no life in them. And I imagine they looked healthier than that, but you understand what I'm saying. There's these bodies there, but no life in them. You go to a funeral and you see somebody, that's them, but it's not them. That's their body, the vessel that held them. And that's what's happened with all these bones. They have flesh, but there's no life in them. And it says, but there was no breath in them. That's important. Because he says, I'm going to bring them to be, but there's no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. That'll be important later on our pre-trib, post-trib study. O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied. Wait a minute, didn't something like that happen in Genesis? Right, the breath of God, he breathed into man the breath of life. All right, just saying. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So he's preaching to them, to these bones that were dry bones and just spread out all over this valley. And now the bones came together, and then sinews and flesh came upon them, but there's no breath in them. And he said, prophesy unto them, son of man. And the son of man starts preaching unto them, and he's telling them, bones, come to life, live. And he's telling them what God bid him to speak. And then the breath of life comes into them. And now they're alive. And they have life as an exceeding great army. See, there's two aspects to this prophecy right here in Ezekiel chapter 37. These bones coming together and being formed, but having no life. And then, the life being put into them. But who are these bones? If only we knew who these bones were. I wish the Bible would tell us who these bones were. Let's see if it does. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They are the whole house of Israel. God just told us it's his nation. It's the Jews. It's the whole house of Israel. But there's two aspects to the fulfillment of this prophecy. We're living in number one right now. They've been made a nation again. The bones have come together. There's sinews and flesh, but they have no life. They're spiritually dead. There's no life in them. The whole house of Israel. God told us who they are. We are living in Bible times. Amen. This is fulfilled prophecy right here. Before our very eyes, we got to witness this with our eyes. We get to live and see this. But there's another aspect coming where the breath came into them and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. That day's coming when the Lord returns. When he sets foot in Israel, the Mount of Olives, that's when that second part will be fulfilled. Amen. That's when it's going to happen. That's when we'll see the second part of it. And he tells us who these bones are. These bones are the whole house of Israel. And when you couple that with the rest of the Bible and you look at the time of Jacob's trouble, you look at the prophecies given in Deuteronomy, you look at all those things, Daniel's 70th week, it all fits perfectly together. Smooth. It's no... Nope, it's just smooth. Bible truth. Let me get to where we were now. some of this stuff, as we get through it, it's going to say what I said. We look at Ezekiel 37. Therefore prophesy, verse 12, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place in you in your own land. There it is, both aspects of that prophecy. All right, we looked at this, but there was no breath in them. All right, verse 11 gives the interpretation. These bones are the whole house of Israel. This was her condition for the past 2,000 years. She was scattered to the ends of the earth, and it appeared that she was dead and finished, the nation of Israel. Brought to life and restored in two stages, verse 8. Okay, but there was no breath in them. We dealt with that. May 14th, 1948, we hereby proclaim the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine to be called Medinat Yisrael, the state of Israel. Our call goes out to the Jewish people all over the world to rally to our side in the task of immigration and development and to stand by us in the great struggle for the fulfillment of the dream of generations for the redemption of Israel. And all these Jews since that time, since that day, have been migrating back into Israel, back into the land that God promised them. And I mean, if you even talk to some of them, I've seen interviews of some of them. They say, I have no idea why, but I just felt like we needed to be back over there. And we've got my family up from what we'd known our whole life. We were born in this foreign land. And what we'd known our whole life, we got up and we moved from that. And moved to a land we've never known. But the land of our fathers. Even though many of them, to this day, reject the God of the Bible. They reject Christ as the Messiah. Beyond that, many of them are secular atheists, but they're getting up and moving back to their homeland, the land that God promised them. God said it was going to happen. God said that would happen. Within minutes, Harry Truman, a Baptist, announced U.S. recognition of Israel. That's a man that was willing to stand when no one wanted to stand with. I'm telling you right now, that took some guts to do what he did, because this world hates Israel. It hates Israel. It always has hated the Jews. This world has always hated the Jews. Even then, it hated the Jews. Announced U.S. recognition of Israel. Truman's decision was hard fought, opposed by the U.S. State Department on the basis of pragmatism. There it is again, oil. We need oil. You can't do that. You're going to jeopardize our country. I'd rather have God's blessing on us than His curse, but they don't believe that anyway. They reject that. But he recognized them within minutes of them announcing that they were a nation. Here's Truman with David Ben-Gurion. Truman made the decision on biblical grounds. Clark Gifford, special counsel to Truman, said that the president was a student and believer in the Bible since his youth, and that from his reading of the Old Testament, he felt the Jews derived a legitimate historical right to Palestine. And that's something a lot of people want to reject, is that the Bible's a historical book. It is. It is a historical book. You don't even have to accept it as a religious book, okay? Religious book, but it's a historical book. And some people don't want to accept that. They'll accept other things as historical books, but not the Bible. Well, it gives them a historical right to the land. Jews celebrated throughout the world. Thanksgiving services and synagogues were everywhere. In Rome, they marched under the Arch of Titus. Remember on there is them plundering the temple? In that Arch of Titus? And they marched through that saying, victory. There's the Colosseum. You can see it back over there, just to the left of that tree on the right side. And that's where that arch is at. Back in the land. We'll pick up here next week, all right? Amen.